Greetings. Welcome to The Dividing Line. We've got a lot to get to today. So much going on. I have a long list here, which normally means I don't get to all of it. But we're going to give it our best shot because a lot of this stuff is, you know, breaking news and things like that. First of all, hopefully you've been seeing this. Most Christians I know are completely unaware. In the United States, most Christians are completely unaware of the content of the Equality Act and what will result from adding science fiction to our laws in regards to discrimination. So I refer, of course, to the idea that men can be women, women can be men, that gender is... doesn't exist. It's all a matter of what you think in your brain. And the reality that this kind of thinking cannot survive debate, it cannot survive examination, it is just insanity, but there you go. Anyway, that's happening in the United States. In Australia, I was sent an article a few days ago about the Australian Presbyterian Church preparing to defy a law that finally this article is, it's getting some traction now and people are starting to read about it. This is in Victoria. There are different states in Australia, just as we have different states in the United States. And during the lockdowns, for example, different states have had different policies. And so some states have locked other states out of getting into their states, and Victoria has been the worst. And but it's going to be going everywhere in Australia. This is an anti-conversion law, and so we've seen in California bills in regards to not allowing conversion therapy. So in other words, it's from a worldview that has no concern about being consistent with itself. It is an incoherent worldview. And so it'll affirm certain things are absolutely unchangeable. And then in other things, everything's changeable. And they don't care whether there's a consistency in it at all, because secularism doesn't care about things like that. It's all about the narrative. And so what you have in Australia is a law going to the legislature there that basically says you cannot do anything that would lead to a person changing their self-determined sexual orientation. And that includes children. And so the thing is so draconian, so outrageous, that, of course, what they're doing is they're using the language of harm. Safeism is now the religion of the globe. And so everybody needs to have their safe space and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And so harm, what a wonderfully nebulous term that is. That, of course, once you've taken over the judiciary, then you can get any judge to determine someone's being harmed. And you know, that's like saying, well, you know, minors should only be allowed to get abortions when a judge feels that they would be harmed if they didn't. Well, harm can be, well, I won't be able to afford an iPhone if I have this baby. Okay, that's a harm, so kill the baby. There you go. That's the kind of world we live in. And so in Australia, this law would actually make it illegal, against criminal law, for parents to pray for their children if it can be proved that causes them harm. So just imagine this. You have a 12-year-old rebel. There have been known to be 12-year-old rebels. And this rebel decides that she is going to destroy her body by becoming a boy. And her parents are like, no, this is rebellion on your part. We know what's better for you. You're not going to mutilate your body at age 11 by pretending to be something you're not. And they pray that she will do the right thing and become obedient to her parents. And she tells the judge, this caused me great harm. The state can take her out. Parents can't do anything about it. And the state can then, of course, follow through with double mastectomies, testosterone injections, everything that will destroy her life for the rest of her life. Yeah. We keep talking about totalitarianism, and people are like, you people just need to put your tinfoil hats on. I just have a feeling a lot of folks are going to be coming up to us over the next number of years going, wow, I just never thought this could ever happen. And it's happening. And it's happening. Something very similar is happening in Canada, just north of us, with Bill C-6. It is moving forward. All efforts to modify the bill have failed. All efforts to put in even the most minimal language protection for pastors and ministers has failed. And it's probably going to pass. And it, too, is an anti-conversion bill. It establishes, I think there were five different categories. You cannot advertise that you would even be willing to help with someone who themselves want help. I mean, this bill is so draconian, so totalitarian, so backwards that it is destructive of free choice in the name of free choice. Language no longer has any meaning. We have gone full Orwell. We are in the full Orwell world where people claiming they're defending people's choice actually take away their choice. You cannot even advertise that you would even be able to be of assistance to someone. This worldview says no one exists who has same-sex attraction that doesn't want it. No one exists that is confused about their gender that doesn't want that. And if you have experienced any of the things and you don't want to go that direction, you can't get help. And you certainly can't help them. You offer help in that way. Oh, 5 years in prison. 5 years in prison, dude. That's the max. I'm sure there's fines first. They'll bankrupt us before they... So they want to bankrupt us before they have to feed us. That's basically how totalitarian things go. And if you don't recognize that this is already the mindset in California. This is already the mindset in New York. And it is the mindset in Washington, D.C. The people who took power, the regime that's currently in power, will do whatever this regime feels like. It's totally unconstrained by law, constitution, morality, anything. That's where we are. That's what some of you voted for. You say, oh, I just never dreamed. Well, we tried to warn you. How fast can lies travel? Well, they can travel very, very quickly when they are assisted by Christians. And some of you, Christians, assisted in creating what is now a national media lie. Just a few hours ago, Jake Tapper, yes, that Jake Tapper, the infamous Jake Tapper, tweets an Apple News link that goes to a Washington Post article, pastors called Kamala Harris a Jezebel. That's dangerous, experts say. The experts say. And you go to the article and by Anne Brennigan, And the first person up, first sentence. 2 days after Vice President Harris was sworn in as the nation's first female Vice President, Tom Buck let it out. What did Tom Buck let out? I can't imagine any truly God-fearing news. At least they quoted it. At least they did more than some of the Baptist press stuff. I have been so amazed at the Baptist press stuff. It seems like there's almost no conservative Baptist press left. All the rest of them are just leftist wackos. And they're just quoting each other, not even checking sources. It's just, oh, it's, wow, so much for there being journalists left anywhere, really. But hey, the Washington Post actually quoted the tweet. I can't imagine any truly God-fearing Israelite who would have wanted their daughters to view Jezebel as an inspiration and role model because she was a woman in power. So, in the days leading up to the inauguration, Buck had quoted scripture about evildoers alongside criticism of President Biden's stance on abortion rights. Yeah. In other words, Tom Buck had said Christian things. Tom Buck had denounced the murder of unborn children. And these people, you know these people, cannot debate this. They not only can they not debate what's religious, they certainly can't debate the abortion issue. And they won't. And they don't. Because they know it doesn't do them any good because they've already got the control of the media. They've got the control of the flow of information. Sort of like that Time magazine article. Well, man, we're going to have to talk about that at some point. But it was his comments about Harris that drew the most attention. Despite criticism, including from fellow pastors, Buck doubled down a follow-up tweet the next day. For those torn up with my tweet, I stand by it 100%. He wrote, "My problem is her godless character. She not only is the most radical pro-abortion VP ever, but also most radical LGBT advocate." Now, we've been trying to tell you for a long time that the secular worldview is a religious worldview. It has ultimate authorities. It has ultimate commitments. But those ultimate authorities and commitments are directly opposed to the Christian faith. They are rebellious in their essence. And so you can be speaking very plainly and clearly of the fact that there is an evil worldview represented by Kamala Harris's actions, votes, statements. Just go back and listen to every debate that took place in the Democratic primaries that she didn't even get like 3% of the vote in. Go back to what she did as Attorney General, go back to what she's done as Senator. And you'll see all of this. And she's made it very, very plain. If she has to be the tie breaking vote on the Equality Act, she will support it. It's an abomination. It's destructive of human life. It's bad stuff. And that's what Tom was talking about. Tom was responding to Christians who were disassociating the evil of the worldview from the disconnected idea of woman in position of power. And he's taking you to a biblical example of a woman in a position of power that could not be a role model because the Bible says character counts. Our society now says character means nothing. Nothing at all. And people in church are going along. People in the church are going along. And so Tom says, no, that's not what scripture says. Well, we're going to beat him to a pulp for daring to go against the religion of the society today. And so now you have the Washington Post, and I didn't ask, but I can guarantee you they didn't contact him either. None of those Baptist press people did. And by the way, the only reason this went out there is because you people on Twitter who knew what his context was lied about him. And you turned into something else. You are responsible for this. And you know who you are. You know exactly who you are. And shame on every single one of you. You knew what he was talking about. You twisted it into something else. And you are responsible for this. You got the mobs going. Congratulations. Well done. Who's going to be around when they come for you? Who's going to be around when they come for you? Because they will. Unless you just completely capitulate, which you may. That's a possibility too. So anyways, and then notice what you got to do. You can't debate the merits of what he said. You can't debate that from a biblical perspective, what he said is not absolutely true. You can't do it historically. You can't do it theologically. So what does our society do? He was actually calling for violence. So you call in the gods of safism. Because that's the new religion. And so you call in the gods of safism, and that these are the experts, okay? And so who are some of these experts that they went to? Well, I shouldn't laugh. I really shouldn't laugh, but they went to two women, and who else they could go to? One white, one black, and both professors. I'm not going to apologize for the fact that I am still able to recognize women from men. But yes, I didn't bother to look at the pronoun listings, which again will cost me greatly in the future, I'm sure. But calling Harris a Jezebel accomplishes multiple things. It delegitimizes her power and dehumanizes her. So let me tell you something. This is what Tom Buck preaches out of on Sundays and tweets out of Monday through Saturday. All right. This is what defines what the context is. The world doesn't care. The world doesn't know. And what's worse is the people in the world who pretend to know, oh my goodness. So, we have Jessica Johnson. Is it okay to assume that might be a female? I looked at the picture, and she was sitting on a desk in a dress that was pretty high cut. So, yeah, she was acting like a woman, and her name's Jessica, so... An assistant professor of religious studies at the College of William and Mary said the term has historically been used as a justification for racial violence against black women. But the pastor's rhetoric had an additional level of danger. Now, in real journalism, in the journalism of the past, which maybe someday will exist again in the future, 70, 80 years down the road, maybe more, when this whole mess collapses in upon itself, takes everything along with it, and we get to rebuild everything. But in real journalism, there would have been some concern about actually identifying the meaning and the worldview behind the original statement. What was the intention? And someone might have gone, you know, he was basically saying what Martin Luther King said. You know, about my children being judged not by the color of skin, but by the content. That's what he was saying, but let's just admit, what Martin Luther King said is no longer popular. In fact, it's unorthodox. They don't believe that. That was one of the most Christian things that Martin Luther King said. It was based upon a Christian worldview. But that, we don't have to worry about that. So instead, now let's just throw in, we don't have to establish that there is any intentionality, any purpose, anything in the words that were used. We're just going to throw in, and because this generation has been infected with safism and panic and CRT, and has been taught only to emote, not to think, we can just throw in, well, it's historically been used as a justification for racial violence against black women. So that must mean that's what this is about. We're not gonna prove that. We're not even gonna make the allegation in a serious fashion. We're just gonna throw it out there, knowing that everybody makes a connection and we win. That's how it's done. That's how slander works. It's a lie. It will be judged by the judge of all the earth someday for being a lie. But there you go. So Johnson has been researching Christian nationalism, an ideology rooted in the belief that the United States is a Christian nation. The Christians must both maintain and advance their privileged status. Oh, I didn't know that was. Get new definitions every day, isn't it? Okay. And so the Christian nationalist movement shares many of the same beliefs as the white nationalists, including an attachment to an authoritarian father figure running the country, Johnson explained. Calling Harris a Jezebel foments their worst fears that they will be replaced, that their fate is in the hands of a godless, amoral black woman. I'm sorry. They believe this stuff. They really do. I mean, this is like psychoanalysis gone psycho. But these are the people in charge. These are the people running Washington now. I mean, it's... When I read it, I go, what are they talking about? But they will, that's you right there. It's, no, it's not. It's not even close. Well, nope, that's an expert. It's not just un-PC. It's far beyond that, Johnson said. It's an incitement to violence. An incitement to violence. So it goes on from there. We need to have another expert brought in. So our next expert is Tamara Lomax, an associate professor at Michigan State University and author of the book. I'll bet you Tom Buck owes Tamara Lomax, some royalties or something, because she wrote a book called Jezebel Unhinged. Jezebel Unhinged. Now, who is Tamara Lomax? Let me read you something here. Tamara Lomax is the foundational associate professor of African American and African Studies at Michigan State University. She received her PhD in 2011 from Vanderbilt University in Religion, where she specialized in Black religious history and Black diaspora studies. She also developed expertise in women, gender, and sexuality studies and Black British and U.S. Black cultural studies. In 2018, Dr. Lomax published Jezebel Unhinged, Loosing the Black Female Body in Religion and Culture, with Duke University Press. Stop looking at me like that. In addition, she organized and guest edited Black Bodies in Ecstasy, Black Women, the Black Church, and the Politics of Pleasure. A special issue published with Black Theology and International Journal. I could go on. This is the next expert that is cited. And, okay, so in the Bible, Jezebel is the name given to the Phoenician wife of Israel's King Ahab in the Old Testament. Now check this out. She is devoted to her husband. But she maintains her beliefs in her own culture's God, said Tamara Lomax, an associate professor, author of the book Jezebel Unhinged, which looks at the cultural, religious, and political applications of the term. This is perceived as a threat to Ahab's God. Now, folks, we need to recognize that The vast majority of what is now called scholarship and expertise of the Bible is not only unbelieving, it's also absurd on a level that is difficult to comprehend. It truly is. To say it's unbelieving should be a basic given. But it's ignorance of some of the most basic realities of actual biblical scholarship. Believing biblical scholarship, historical biblical scholarship, is astonishing. It really is astonishing. So she is, so Jezebel was devoted to her husband. Mm-hmm. But she maintains her beliefs in her own culture's gods. In other words, she brought Baal worship into Israel. Now, the secular, unbelieving scholar that goes to whatever school today is going to be taught that the Old Testament narrative that is recording all these things in 1st and 2nd Kings is a hash, an absolute hash of contradictory, redacted, incoherent stories. They're never, ever, ever, it's never ever to be viewed the way that Jesus did. It's never ever to be viewed the way the New Testament writers did. Never ever be viewed the way that the Old Testament writers viewed it. We are all so much smarter. Okay? So much smarter. And so they look at this and they feel free to read the Jezebel story whatever way they want. It's no longer a part of God's redemptive work in Israel or even the demonstration of what apostasy looks like. What happens when you have people who have received revelation from God rebel against that revelation, become syncretistic in their worship. None of that stuff. That's not even allowed. In the vast majority of religious schools, Catholic, Protestant, doesn't matter. The vast majority of religious schools in the United States today, you hear a lecture on Jezebel, and it's going to be in the context of letting you fill in with whatever you want to fill in with the meaning of the text. Because there is no redemptive history of Israel. There is no purpose of God being played out. There is no example being given. So this is perceived as a threat to Ahab's small g God. Would that be Yahweh? When the prophet Elijah kills 800 of Jezebel's holy men, you mean priests? The queen threatens retaliation and establish, and listen to this. Because we know the people who write these articles are even more ignorant than the scholars they are allegedly, that they are going to. So, I shouldn't laugh because this is just such, but the queen threatens retaliation and establishes herself as his equal. If you are Elijah, so I am Jezebel, she said. So you see what's going on here. Jezebel threatens Elijah's life, and he runs. But that has to be interpreted in the context of power structures. This is what happens when CRT becomes the filter. Nothing makes sense anymore. So you get to just fill stuff in and filter out what's actually going on. And the result is absurdity. But that's modern day scholarship. And for everybody who says, but we need to respect these modern days. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, I do not respect untruthfulness. I do not respect incoherence. And don't quote me, respect all men. That's not what it's talking about. Quit twisting the scriptures. Then, you're sitting down. Don't be listening to this part while driving, okay? Or slow down or engage your automatic driving stuff or something. Quote, she never did anything sexual. They hated her for her power, Lomax said. Let me just read that. It was Jezebel's breach of the social order that led followers of Christianity to accuse her of being immoral. The sexual connotations were tacked on afterward, Lomax explained, to both undermine her and further highlight her deviance. If this woman turned a paper like this in for any of my seminary classes, she fails, because that's absurd. This shows an abysmal ignorance of the nation, of the notion of what Baal worship included. The Asherah, do you know what, sometimes called the sacred groves, the high places? You know what's going on there. Temple prostitution. Okay? Sexual debauchery. This isn't questioned. This is well known. Anybody who's even visited Israel and taken a serious tour and visited some of the high places, you look at some of the figurines. I mean, this is first year college stuff. And these are instructors with PhDs. This is why people don't send your children to universities anymore. This is all that's left. This is all that's left. You've got to pick. There are just a few schools left to go to where you're going to get a meaningful education that isn't based upon this kind of abject lunacy. If you don't know what the Asherah were about, if you can't figure out what Baal worship is about, if you can't see how Jezebel brought this kind of sexual perversion into Israel, you aren't dealing with the Old Testament anymore. Stop pretending to tell people what's really going on. You don't have a clue. You don't know what you're talking about. So sexual connotations were tacked on afterwards to undermine her and further highlight her deviance. How about the fact that the Bible says that God then prophesied that her body would be eaten by dogs, and it was? Oh, well, that didn't really happen either. and so of course, what you do is you then go into quote-unquote American culture, you forget all about that type of stuff, and come up with the rest of it. I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm just going, Every single one of you that ignored the clear intention of Tom Buck's tweet are responsible for this. Every single one of them. And you need to repent. If you're a Christian, you need to contact him and say, I'm sorry. I apologize. What repent means? Yeah, I might need to explain what repent means. That's true. That's true. Okay, like I said, I've got 47 billion things to get to here. Karen Swallow Pryor, last night. Watching the new footage from the Capitol insurrection, my heart is sick. I'm incapable of understanding how any member of the GOP can place party above democracy, order, and human life. Having voted Republican most of my life, I'm also incapable of imagining ever doing so again. So we have a two-party system. And one of these two parties at least plays lip service to, for example, opposing abortion, some type of traditional understanding of marriage. I'm not sure how vast majority of Republicans, as far as I can tell, have become secularists, so they're not going to have any foundation to stand on one way or the other. But especially at the local level, we can get to know people. If a Christian is to run on a Christian worldview, what party are they going to be accepted in? The one that Karen Swallow Pryor will not vote for. So I wrote back, so you're getting out of the political process? I mean, this is just so emotion-filled. It's so childish. Emotions and childishness frequently go together. But what's the underlying assumptions? Well, those people that broke into the Capitol were all good Republicans. Like Horn's man, right? Like the people who have been identified with Antifa and BLM, they're good Republicans. Yes, sure. But it's also just so easily buys into the narrative. Now, maybe there are a bunch of tweets from Karen Swallow Pryor back when mobs were... Do you remember that right at the beginning when all the riots started, right after Minneapolis burned down, and it started in New York, and started in Chicago, and it started in Seattle, and we even had a couple nights here in Phoenix, and stuff like that really, really bad time when we're we're all just wondering, are they going to be heading down my street this week? Remember that one video where there's this guy trying to defend his business, and this rioter comes up behind him and nails him with a skateboard. And did he die or did he recover? I think he may have recovered, but may not walk again or something. I don't remember. That's assault with a deadly weapon. That was an attempted murder right there on camera. Now, maybe if we went back in the Karen Swallow Pryor's tweet thing, we would have, because newsflash, he wasn't a Republican. Now, the guy smack might have been, but the dude with the skateboard never voted for a Republican. I can guarantee you that. So is there a tweet someplace saying, having voted Republican most of my life, I will also continue to do so in light of this Democrat and the violence? And I'm pretty certain that the people who shot the retired police officer were not Trumpers. The vast majority of the people that were running out of the stores with goods were not supporters of President Trump. They are the base of the Democratic Party. Are those? Maybe they're there. Maybe I just didn't see them. Maybe people didn't retweet them. I don't know. But this kind of... You've got... How many people actually got into the Capitol? I mean, once the security guards opened the door. 1,200? Okay, so let's say a little over 1,000 people. You don't know their political affiliations. We know that there were Antifa and BLM amongst them. But there were right-wing radicals in there, too. And then there were people like Hornsman, who is just simply in outer space. Okay? And a number of the rest of them were, too. This was a rabble. There was no purpose. There was no plan to take over the United States. There wasn't anything like that. They didn't burn the place down, did they? Somebody tried to steal a podium, and I think some laptops got stolen. But I didn't see anybody running out with big screen TVs and shopping carts. There was no burning. And was that it was last night that Tucker Carlson did the thing about the deaths. You know, the whole mythology that was immediately thrown out there, even the Pope repeated about 5 people dying. That's just simply not true. People died, but they didn't die because they were getting shot or getting beaten to death or things like that. One woman got shot point blank range by a federal officer. But you compare that with what has been going on for months and months, and the numbers are 99.9991 to 0.0009. But we're all focused on that, and we forget about that, right? I mean, the inequality here, the lack of equity here, is absolutely astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. It's so obvious. I mean, they've been trying to burn down, blow up a courthouse in Washington, Portland, for how long? Months and months. It's been under siege. And you get a couple hours, no burning, and one rioter shot, and all of a sudden that is the big thing, and we can just go on. Let's not worry about the video of Minneapolis looking like Mogadishu. Let's not worry about that. Those guys were fine. It's so obvious that we are being taken for a complete ride. Christians should not be going along with it. They should not. We should not be so easily controlled by narratives based on lies. Narratives based on lies. I remember when I was at my chiropractor's when the stuff happened in Washington. I wasn't even watching at the time until I got home. And I remember very early on when the Swicknick death came up, that I did see a source that immediately said that his family came out and said, no, do not politicize this, and that's not what happened. But then it just disappeared. And the whole narrative that just spread everywhere was this guy was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher by Trump supporters. The reality is that's not what happened. And given, it strikes me as quite interesting that he was very quickly cremated. That the autopsy has not been released, right. But the family has said that's not what happened, but what did happen, different issue. Who knows?
Here's the thing. If what Tucker Carlson said happened when he talked about it last night, there's no reason to have an autopsy. The guy died of a stroke.
Right.
Hours after the whole event. He's sitting in his office texting a buddy going, yeah, I got pepper sprayed a couple times. Other than that, I'm fine.
Right, right.
So there's no autopsy to have if that was the case. But if he was
murdered... No, but the autopsy would be important to demonstrate that there was no physical trauma.
Right, but if he was murdered, they would have to have an autopsy.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah. Right, right. So here is a ostensibly Christian professor saying, I will never support the one party that has at least publicly expressed a willingness to defend religious liberty in a two-party system where the other side has made it very clear that religious liberty is dead in the United States. Good job. Well done. Well done. Well done. I'm just left going, what? So on local level, because this is where the battle is going to be from now on, is on the local level. Because they've got the national government. Let's just face it. It's done. I said last year, we will not have another free election in this nation on the national level. And I firmly believe that. So it's local level. You're telling me, Karen Swallow Pryor, that you will not vote for a local, let's say a local Christian pastor who decides to run for county board of supervisors to help try to protect the freedom of local Christian parents to homeschool. Is that what you're telling me? Because that's what you said. I'm also incapable of imagining ever doing so again. Well, we all have our emotional meltdowns. And another emotional meltdown. You got this? Okay. A couple years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, there were a lot of folks going after Lecrae and stuff that Lecrae was doing. I didn't get involved in any of that stuff. Some of you know, we met once, had a great time. I had initially, only reason I even knew that he knew who I was because he tweeted a picture on the tour bus of them watching my debates on the tour bus. And so we got together at a restaurant across the valley, and I did something on New Testament reliability. We talked about Trinitarian stuff. It was great. It's fine. Wonderful. Great. Then stuff started changing. He started changing. And so, as you know, just a few days prior to the January 5th election in Georgia, he performed at a Warnock-Ossoff campaign event. Now, the story now is that he had been told that it was a nonpartisan event, which is why when Warnock and Ossoff won, he then said it feels good to be on the right side of history. But here's a picture. I took this off of the video from the performance because I had seen this. And there's Lecrae, and I want you to see what he's standing in front of. It says, Health, Jobs, Justice, Warnock, Ossoff. Okay? I mean, it's right there. You can't miss it. And that, I can assure you, that is not the only place that sign was around there. So don't tell me, oh, I thought it was a nonpartisan thing. I didn't know. Really? Don't buy it. Sorry. So when Warnock and Ossoff both joined with 46 other Democrats to kill an amendment to once again demand that infants born from botched abortions alive be cared for, Warnock and Ossoff used their votes to make sure that babies born alive after botched abortions can be left on metal plates to die in agony. That's what these people are. And Lecrae helped to get them elected. That is a fact. Deal with it. Repent of it, but deal with it. These are evil men. It's an evil worldview. Let's get rid of the myth of neutrality, shall we? It's an evil worldview. And all the mean tweets in the world will not save that little baby on that cold metal plate. Sorry. Y'all can, since we're at it, y'all can kiss Baylor goodbye. Stop calling Baylor a Baptist school. Stop calling Baylor a Christian school. Baylor has capitulated. There is a LGBTQ group on that. Oh, there's a sorority, fraternity, whatever. They've chosen as their Gamma Alpha Upsilon, which when you write it in capital Greek letters spells gay. Sort of. Gamma doesn't work real well, but, well, and Upsilon doesn't, looks like a Y in English, but anyways. You now have not only alumni jumping on board, you have staff members writing a statement, the Student Senate pressing that for Baylor to just capitulate, just give in to the culture, stop being Christian, stop being unique, stop upholding the teachings of Jesus. Which is why, on the last program, what did we do? We spent a long time demonstrating what the teachings of Jesus and his scriptures and his apostles are on that. And it's sort of important to recognize that and to understand that. So, sad to see, but not shocking, in my opinion, at all. Y'all want to see something scary? Yeah, here we go. I hope this plays. But the mask cult, and let's go over here. The mask cult is here. I've been talking about face diapers. I've been talking about the fact that this will not go away. It is a panic driven cultic movement now. And it's just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And we're seeing that. We are seeing that. And so here is a video that I saw yesterday. And it starts off with my mask is my passport to the outside world. So it's 29 seconds. Check this out. Oh, great. And it spins. Isn't that great? Okay, let's try that.
Go to the outside world. It's my armor.
Okay, here we go.
My mask. My mask is my passport to the outside world. It's my armor.
My armor.
My shield.
It's my armor. It's my shield. You don't have to take it down. Keep there. You go. Just go ahead and leave it up. It needs to be. It's my armor and my shield. See, there's a little COVID bouncing off of that. We know that's a lie, right? You've seen the graphs, lockdowns instituted with masks and the infections go up and up and up and it's living by lies. It's lying to people. And
you know, my shield, my savior.
I want you to see that. My savior. My savior. My mask is my savior. Seriously? My mask is my savior.
I didn't really like it at first, but it's sort of become my best friend.
It's become my best friend. Well, I guess if you've been stuck in lockdown and have not gone outdoors and your dog died, that might be the last thing you've got, I suppose. Sorry if that's the case.
$30 with an uncomfortable face diaper.
Yes! Someone else! Face diaper! That's exactly what it is. That's what it remains to this day.
And it turned into a fashion statement.
Oh, yeah. It turned into a fashion statement. Let me tell you something. If you think that thing is a fashion statement, you want the fastest way to make sure that I will have absolutely zero respect for you in social media? Post a picture of yourself in a mask. That will
be my new form of self-expression.
Yeah, there you go. There's America in 2021. Right. Right there.
But I admit that sometimes I needed to hide the sadness on my face.
I needed to hide the sadness on my face.
Seeing you.
And you.
You and your mask.
Always makes me feel a little bit better.
Makes me feel a little bit better. There is the mask cult. Oh my goodness. Panic is surely one of the most efficient and effective means of creating a cult I've ever seen in my life. And you think about it, that's what doomsday cults were all about, really. A lot of those cults that started were out of fear that people were going to miss the coming of the Lord or something like that. And voila, you get the, wow. Meanwhile, I may have to retire Grogu. Did you see the news today? What do you think about this, Grogu? What do you think about this? Oh. He's sad, too. Yeah, he's sad, too. I may have to retire Grogu. Because the MMA, the female MMA fighter. Yeah, you know who it is. What's Karina? What the? I forgot to keep the file up, but the chick that plays the... She was in the final scene, and spoiler alert here, you know, the big final scene, the best final scene in a TV series in 30 years. She's in it. Remember? Yeah, that's exactly right. And they have fired her because she's not a leftist wackoid. And she said on Twitter that being a conservative in Hollywood is like being a Jewish person during the Nazi Holocaust, which is, they proved the point for her. Exactly. But Disney has fired her. She will not be in the next season of Mandalorian. And she was one of the best people in it. And that tells you what they're going to do with Mandalorian. Gina Carano. Thank you. I thought she did a great job. I enjoyed that character. Everybody did. Political correctness, bye-bye. If you're going to be in Hollywood, you got to have the religion. And that's not part of the religion of Hollywood, so there you go. Yep, Hollywood blacklist. Two quick things, and I've got to get to an article so we can wrap this up. Remember last year, probably November, when all the stuff about the vaccine started coming out, I started doing some reading and I became concerned. I became concerned because of the nature of these vaccines. The vaccines being used in most of the world are based on RNA and DNA technology. This is a new technology for this utilization. They've been used for other things, not for long, but they've been used in other applications. But to actually deal with this kind of an infection, this is a new technology. It's untested. And Moderna, I think, who is Moderna, this is the very first human vaccine they've produced. Hey, let's start with millions of doses at once. Great. I mentioned to you something called ADE, antibody dependent enhancement, which came up in animal testing years earlier with this technology and was always what caused the testing to stop because the animals all have died. What happened was, because it's an unnatural means of producing antibodies, there's no virus that you're being exposed to. You're producing antibodies. You're telling your cells produce antibodies, but that's not all there is to an antibody response, to a immune response. You have T cells and killer cells and stuff. And so it's very complex, incredibly complex. It's really designed. Be nice if we actually had time to be going, wow, the immune system is clear evidence of that God created us. It's wonderful. And now we're trying to short circuit it. And so in those tests, this ADE popped up to where the animal's body produced antibodies. But then when the animal is exposed to the natural virus killed them quickly. The antibodies didn't work. And the body didn't respond because the body said, we're already ready for that. But the antibodies that were artificially produced didn't work, which resulted in immediate massive infection, sepsis, organ failure, and death. Well, young surgeon received the vaccination routine regimen and very shortly later died of COVID. Of COVID. Now, he was a young man. If he normally would not be overly impacted by COVID to begin with, but he died of COVID, having gotten the vaccine. That sounds very much like ADE to me. And Israel is now reporting numbers. I saw both 38 and 41 deaths of people who had received both shots and they died of COVID. That's just in Israel. What is it? I hope it's not ADE, because that can develop way down the road. But people warned about it. And when people warned about it, what happened to their videos? Bye-bye. And that's what censorship does. Censorship, when you do not refute false ideas with sound argumentation, then, and you just censor them, you give them a life of their own. Now, I think the idea behind censorship now is you have so many people in our society that have been taught what to think, not how to think, that you can get away with it. Critical thought is just gone. But maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. But you have to keep an eye on this news, because that's and think about it. Those will be counted as COVID deaths. And so you just pump those numbers up, baby. Pump them up. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. All right. Where'd that go? Good. There it is. All right. Last thing for the program today. You say you've already been going for an hour. I know. But I need to respond to something here, and hopefully this will be helpful. A few weeks ago, we inaugurated our new studio, and Rich says the new microphones sound robust, I think was the term you used. Sound like a Merlot or something. It's like, okay, a robust sound. All right, whatever. Now, there's supposed to be cables coming today, right? They're here. Good. So that's the stuff so I can hear. No? That's still coming? That's so I can hear people. So we're getting to the point. We're going to get to where we can have guests. Okay, good. Looking forward to that, because I've got a lineup already of folks that I've said, let's do something. And so there you go. Anyway, we inaugurated the new studio with a discussion of Romans chapter 13 and the specific New Testament teaching in regards to what the old divines called sphere sovereignty. I know, stuff that we haven't had to think about much of late. But the idea that there are, it's certainly a part of church history discussion in regards to the authority of the state and the authority of the church. It's been an issue from the first generation. And it certainly became a huge issue once sacralism developed. And so we went through Romans chapter 13, and one of the issues that we raised is the fact that Romans chapter 13 plainly presents to us a governing authority that is punishing evil and rewarding good. And that means that there is an understanding and, in fact, a submission on the part of the governing authority to the external definition of what is good and evil. We live in God's world. It is a created world. You try to rebel against that, human flourishing isn't going to take place. So when Paul is speaking of the governing authorities and he describes them, he says, rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. So let's make application to the stories at the top of the program. Is it a good thing or an evil thing for parents to pray for their children, that their children will grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that boys will grow up to be men who will worship and serve Christ, that women will grow up to be mothers who will raise godly children in the nurture and admonition of Christ? Is that a good thing for Christian parents to do? Answer is obvious. Australia, in Victoria, the governing authorities are saying that's a bad thing. For that, they are defined as a bad thing. And from whence are they drawing this definition? From a counter-Christian worldview. The culture of death, which is all around us. So the government becomes a minister of what? The culture of death. Because it's deriving its definition of good and evil from the culture of death. So when Paul says, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil, do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. If you allow the state to determine what is good. So it says, ta agathon, the good. Do the good, as determined by whom? It is, I think, absolutely plain that to try to force Paul to be saying, do what the state says is good, rather than what God says is good from his worldview, his creation worldview, is absurd. That is, When the early Christians went out at night and rescued babies that had been exposed on the garbage piles in the city of Rome, their form of abortion, what they were doing was good. The Roman people thought it was stupid and evil, but they thought it was good, and they were right. They were doing the right thing. And when the Roman state began telling Christians that they could no longer gather and meet, they continued to do so. So evidently, Paul's exhortation, from certain people's perspectives, as quickly as the days of Tacitus, had been forgotten because the Christians kept meeting, which is why they were thrown to lions. The Christians continued, when told to offer the pinch of incense to Caesar, not to do so. Even though you could make a very strong two-sphere argument that you're just pinch of incense. You're doing it for the good of the society. You're keeping society. You're saving life. It's for the greater good. You could have made that argument. And if we live in that day, there are certain people that would be making that argument. There's no choice about it. Now, in that context, I, at the beginning, pointed out, just in passing, that Hooper Ekusais, the governing authorities, might mean the authorities that have moral excellence and superiority. That there are commentators that interpret it in that way. I said, I don't know that you really can prove it one way or the other, but that we end up pretty much coming to the same point one way or the other, because when Romans 13:14 says it is a minister of God for your good, it is a minister of God for your good. That ta agathon, same phrase that we use in verse 3, is defined by God's law. It's not defined by the state. It's defined by God's law. And so whether you go the Stanley Porter route and just simply say these are the morally excellent authorities, or you say, no, it's governing authorities, but this is describing what governing authorities and what the limitations of their authority are. And the argument includes within it a couple of factors. The state is dependent upon God's revelation for what is good. The state does not have an autonomous capacity to discern what is good. That's what's so wrong about where we are right now. That's why I say globally we are moving into a time of crisis at warp speed. Because the Great Reset is based upon human autonomy. Not just human autonomy, but governmental autonomy. And that will self-destruct, I hope, quickly, but it may not be quickly. In God's economy, it will be quickly, from his perspective. But it could be generations. I hope it's not that way. But to be honest with you, the faster the collapse, the more catastrophic it'll be. And we are talking about many, many, many people dying. There's no question about this. Starvation, disease, war. We have nuclear weapons on this planet. And it would be wonderful if we didn't have nuclear weapons on this planet. Or if the only reason we had nuclear weapons on this planet was to keep movies like Greenland from ever coming true. You probably haven't seen it yet. It's a new one. I'm a bit of a geek. It's about, yes, I know you are. It's about a comet, asteroid type thing. It's all in pieces, slamming into the earth and causing extinction level to, it's bad. They have made movies about that before. But this one was interesting. The special effects keep getting better. But remember, what was that one where they sent Bruce Willis out? Was that Space Cowboys? They sent Bruce Willis out to blow it up. That would be the reason to have nuclear weapons, is planetary self-defense against asteroids. That would be a good reason. But we have nuclear weapons, and bad things could happen. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, that was a bit of a divergence. It's going to collapse because when you try to build a world while ignoring the God who gave you the instruction manual, you're going to fail. And even with all of mankind's technology, it's going to fail. And when it fails big, like it did in the Soviet Union, It kills millions and millions. Stalin killed so many more millions than Hitler ever dreamed of. The Chinese are doing it better with technology because they're going slower. But it's still killing millions. And I don't know what the future is going to hold, but it's going to break down. It will fail. But the process could be ugly and could take a lot of us with it. I'm trying to warn about it, but there's a lot of people that is not. Everything's just going to continue on as it's always been. Okay. Anyway, these states that have this worldview have no basis for defining good and evil. Therefore, I had some people ask me after that last program, for it is a diakonos of God for you, eis ta agathon. Okay, if this is Paul, and a lot of these people just won't put this into a Pauline context. They won't put it in the context in which he lived and ministered. They won't put it in the context of his other epistles. And what is ta agathon? How does he define it? How do you describe God's law? Agathon. It's good. It's good. God's law is good. Okay. So I had people ask me, so if you have a government that derives ta agathon from that which is actually ta kakan, which are all terms that he uses here, from the evil, then is it a minister of God for your good? Obviously not. Don't try to connect ta agathon to Romans 8 and say, well, God works all things for the good. He's not talking about the good as defined by law. He's not talking about the good as opposite evil. He's talking about God's eternal purpose. If you try to do that, you're turning Paul on his head. You've got a purpose for this. You've got a reason why you're doing this. You've got a reason why you're doing this. So, obviously, when it says then, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Okay? My conscience as a Christian is to be formed on the basis of what? God's law. God's revelation as to what is good and what is evil. So, my conscience says I'm to pray for my grandchildren, whether the law says I do so or not. My conscience says I am to teach my granddaughters that their gift from God is that they are women and they will be able to be mothers and that they will be able to nurture and that they will be able to build homes and that they will be able to do all the things that God has made them so important in his economy to be. And the state says, that's wrong. I'm stereotyping. I'm in the patriarchy. Blah, 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 blah. Is my conscience supposed to bow to what the state says? What? Same thing. What about the Christian conscience that says, I am to gather under the authority of the preaching of the word of God? And I am to pray with God's people, and I am to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we are to baptize new believers. This is the function of the church. This is the church's sovereignty. So when it says, for because of this, you also pay taxes. So again, we're talking government authorities. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to what? To this very thing. What's this very thing? The promotion of good and the punishment of evil, defined by God's law. There isn't any question about this. There isn't any question about this. The question comes when you then apply these things to evil systems. Now, every governmental system is imperfect. Every governmental system is imperfect. That's why you have the church saying here and no farther, and you have the church saying to the government, no, that is, he who has risen from the dead says, this is my law. you know, I know this isn't the way of most of us think, but read Psalm 2 again. Read Psalm 110 again. We love, I'm preaching on this Sunday night. Get ready. Get a deep seat. I don't know how I'm going to fit it in my time frame. I'm probably not going to. Apologia moms, bring extra snacks on Sunday night and maybe an extra diaper. It's going to be like Jeff's preaching. Yeah, definitely. No two ways about it. But we love quoting, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. But we don't quote the next verse. The Lord stretches forth your mighty scepter from Zion. The Messiah's mighty scepter is stretched forth by the Lord from Zion. Rule over your enemies. That's the command. That's the command. And so we are so used to the church just we're just over here. We're just doing our thing. We're not gonna say anything about what's going on around us. And so we don't say to the state, no. You don't do that about marriage. No, you don't do that about sexuality. So anyway, that's what we should be doing. So when you have a state where the servants, the rulers are servants of God devoting themselves to this very thing, if you can look at what's going on in Australia, if you can look at what's going on in Canada, if you can look at what's going on in the Netherlands, in Belgium, in the United States capital, and say they are devoting themselves to this very thing, they are devoting themselves every moment of the day to rebellion. Rebellion. They're bringing God's wrath upon themselves and the country in the process. Yes, no two ways about it. So Paul is saying that there is to be law. There is to be subjection to governing authorities. But that is a qualified subjection. It is always under the context that God gets to define what human flourishing is. And here's where today we are faced with not only, well, think about it. There's been one, you know, starting in the last century, we had governmental systems that were atheistic. Not pagan like Rome, they ended up becoming that way, but Rome allowed for theism, and as such, allowed that the gods had authority over the state. Even when they elevated Caesar to the level of a god, he wasn't Zeus. There was still, within the Roman worldview, the necessity of continuing ethical, moral standards and norms. And when that started breaking down, that's when Rome went, boom. Okay? What the world did not have that it has now is Darwin. It's Darwin. Darwin provided a means for mankind to become an animal and the state to become God. And so now we can have a thoroughly secular state where you have an organization of accidents determining what is best for all other accidents, none of which have transcendent value. That is the perfect storm for the sinfulness of man. We've never faced, until last century, with Stalin and that atheism, we've never faced this kind of an evil before. But Stalin didn't have our tech. Stalin didn't have our technology. And now it's here. And Stalin did not have the advanced degradation of medical technology, abortion, infanticide that we have today. You fighting something over there? You're fighting something over there, I can tell.
Oops.
Hey, that's nice.
What happened? Oh, let's turn that on.
The Rich Cam is dead.
You just lit me up. Is it there? Is it there? There it is. I had not occurred to me, there's one other piece of the state in the place of God and the population in the place of animals. The state rules over the population like they would govern and manipulate the animals.
Well, so but they're animals themselves.
We're like the cows in the pen.
Yeah.
And they get to determine
how many cows there need to be.
And
have you got excess cows?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Oh, wow.
Of course. So we are now. Nobody has expertise, the final expertise, in the perfect application of these biblical principles in this context. We can look back at what happened under Russian, Soviet domination. We can look at what's been going on in China. The horrific human rights abuses in North Korea. The culture of death writ large in North Korea. We can see all that. But we're talking on a global scale. We're talking with taking what's going on in the CCP global. And as Christians, we're going to have disagreements. But what we can't disagree about is that Romans 13 is not telling us that when you have a government like the Chinese communists doing what they're doing, dynamiting churches, sterilizing Uyghur Muslims, and it's not just the Uyghurs they're doing it to, I can assure you of that, that we're supposed to go, that's a minister for our good. If you've gone there, there's something else operating in your system, in your worldview someplace. I'm just telling you that right now. So we know from Romans 13, God's will for the world is an ordered will. Why? Because he established the first and most primary foundational form of order amongst man, the family. That's the foundation of everything else. And we know that all authority comes from God. And hence, anyone who is given authority will be judged by God. And we know that God has a purpose. God had a purpose in having Nero Caesar. And God had a purpose in Caligula. If you know anything about either one of them. When I do that, some people go, oh, they must have been nasty. Oh, you don't know. Most history books clean things up just a little bit. But we know that they were judged by God, but they were placed there for a purpose. But if you must distinguish between saying that, well, God is, it's, you don't want to fall into the Leighton Flowers stuff. Well, I'm just predestined by God to believe in free will. That kind of, I'm going to completely ignore the fact that God's sovereign decree also creates time and makes creatures responsible in time. I'm going to conflate the two. I'm going to flatten it all out and turn it into a pancake and make little jokes about it. You can't do that in this area either. If an authority exists, God created it. It will still be judged by God. And that does not change the reality that if that authority enters into rebellion against God, that you are not to follow that authority in rebellion. Now, right now, it does seem very clear to me that this great reset is incrementally seeking to encroach and finally get rid of all competition. This is a totalitarian movement. You can see it in poor Grogu's friend who got fired. It's totalitarian. You have to think exactly as we think. And so it's been being done incrementally, but it's going to accelerate as to the demands that the state is going to make of the church until the church simply becomes an extension of the state. That's what you have in the CCP. I've seen statements from people who tried to go the middle route with state-approved churches. And I guess some people who are pushing the Romans 13 thing, that's all I can say. I can't see how these people would not be saying that the free church in China is unbiblical. In fact, I think they'd have to argue that the Christians who are in prison in China are rightfully in prison. Because the church said you're not to meet. The church just raided the early reign church again for having homeschool. And if the state has said that you're not to homeschool your children, then that's minister of God for your good, right? Is that where you're going to go? There will be people who go there. There are already people who are there. That's reality. That's fact. Why are you sending messages that make my watch buzz? It's distracting. Now I need to know, find out, okay, what's Rich talking about? See? No. I've gone long enough. I've got another program to do. You're going to upload to Gab TV today? Good. That's very good. That's very good. I'm actually supposed to be joining John Harris here pretty quick. So we're going to wrap things up and I'm going to get this thing blogged and then we're going to do some more recording. I hope my voice lasts through all of it. Thanks for watching the program today. Big stuff coming. Lord, again, big stuff coming. Don't know where it'll be streaming. We'll keep trying. We haven't gotten taken down yet. Maybe. God can, look, God took Peter out of a prison cell, made chains fall off, and walk out in front of Roman guards, okay? So God can hide our stuff even from the commies at YouTube for a while. Thanks for watching. Lord willing, see you next time. God bless.